anything among you, say, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You better know that much. 2 Corinthians 8 at verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And finally, Galatians 6:14, but may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom or through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Would you stand as we have our opening prayer at this time?
Let's sing number 489. Number 489. I know that my Redeemer lives. Number 489.
I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays.
And ever prays for me.
I know
eternal life He gives from sin and sorrow free.
I know that my Redeemer lives. I know
eternal life He gives.
I know that my Redeemer lives.
He wills that I should hold. From this earth life free. I know that my Redeemer lives.
I know
eternal life He gives. Saving grace is nigh.
I know
that He will come again
to
take me home on high.
I know that my Redeemer lives.
I know eternal life He gives. Place prepared for me,
a home,
a house not made
with hands,
most wonderful to see.
I know that my Redeemer lives.
I know eternal life He gives.
It's got to start here, doesn't it? We've got to know that our Redeemer lives. Nothing else matters if He didn't. And I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a great, great chapter. The discussion there is about whether or not Christ is risen. And there's a lot that's said. Let me start with it here. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. That's that gospel area. if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all He was seen also of me, as one born out of due season. Did you note, was seen, was there four different times? This is the witness idea. The rest of 1 Corinthians argues for the surety that Christ lives. The idea there is if he doesn't live, then we're just playing games. In Romans 8:34, who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is the one who died, yea, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Ephesians 1:20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. We're talking about a living Redeemer. Colossians 3:1, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. 2 Timothy 1:10, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who, I like this, abolished death and brought to life immortality through the gospel. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high.
Number 552, I know whom I have believed. Number 552.
Reserve for me.
I hope you know whom you have believed. John 7:16-17, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself." John 6:28-29. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." There's nothing more important there. And then in Acts 2:36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know," culmination of the first gospel sermon, "know for certain that God has made him, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Probably the most simple definition of sin is found in John 16 at verse 9. "Because they believe not on me." We're going to have our Lord's Supper now.
Number 549. I know the Lord will find a way. Number 549. I know the Lord will find a way. Grand to hear him.
If I walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord will find a way for me. It's a pretty song, isn't it? It's got a beautiful message to it. It's part of our confidence in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. We all run into the same things. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able, but with the temptation provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. I know that because I just read it. We all have temptations and trials, and sometimes they're pretty severe. My wife noted last night, maybe the way of escape is death. Hadn't thought about that, but that's a possibility, isn't it? Sooner or later, that's the escape route I intend to take. And I know the Lord's found a way for me. I'm in 2 Peter chapter 1, beautiful verses in 3 through 11. Listen carefully. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, it's through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these things He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. I like that. That's what we're in process of, isn't it? Becoming partakers of His nature. Then it says, having escaped the corruption that's in this world by lust. We've got to escape this world, folks. For this very reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. In your godliness, brotherly kindness. In your brotherly kindness, love. Are you listening? For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent, there's that word again, to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance to the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Powerful verses. We can know that. Again, we just read it together. One of my old mentors used to have trouble with this song. He'd grin. He really didn't. But he used to say this: the Lord's already found a way for me. So there is an aspect in which I know the Lord will find a way for me. That's a little more subjective and a little more personal. But on a larger scale, church, the Lord has already found a way for us. And we just remembered it right here. It's the death and the burial and the resurrection of His only begotten Son. Sometimes when life gets rocky and difficult, when we can't see our way clear, we think maybe there is no way. But I want to say that that road has been cleared once for all time. In Hebrews 2 at verse 10, there's some interesting terminology in Hebrews. For it became Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Each of these terms that I'm focusing on show Jesus Christ as the one who leads into the presence of God. He's the one that makes the way. And so He's called the captain there. in 6:19-20. This hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. We're going to talk about that. Where Jesus has entered as forerunner for us. There's that idea. He's made that way within the veil. And then Hebrews 12:2-3, fixing our eyes on Jesus. He is there called the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, verse 3 says, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And in chapter 10, I don't have it in your lesson nor here, but in chapter 10 of Hebrews, he is the way into the Holy of Holies, if you'll read that. It's through the veil, which is his flesh, that we get into the presence of God. And so, yes, I know the Lord will find a way for me and for you, but I am assured that he has already found a way for us. Right?
Number 503. I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know
about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who owns tomorrow, and I know
as the golden stairs I climb, every burden's getting lighter, every cloud is silver line. There the sun is always shining, there no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know what's tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me, and the path that be my portion may be through the flame or crust, but its presence goes before.
my favorites. That one says to me, I don't know some things, but I do know some things. You're never going to know everything, but you know enough. And when we look at the structure of this song, I don't know about tomorrow. You don't know that you're going to make it to tomorrow. We don't know that much. What we do know is who holds tomorrow, and He holds our hand. Isn't that right? We are created by God. He is our Creator. He has loved us. He has provided for us. He sustains us on a daily basis. He will do that until we die. Then He'll, whatever He's going to do at that point in time, huh? Eventually, we will be with Him forever. What a great idea. What a great information that belongs to us. Seems to me there's two issues here. Number one, God owns the future. Number two, God loves us and is presently with us and holds our hand. He's not a God afar off. Bette Midler, from a distance? Kind of like the song, but didn't like the words. But He's not a distant God. He's a powerful God. Hard to understand in that might and power and eternal nature. But He is not distant. He came to this world with His Son and He died. 1 Corinthians 15, starting at 24. Then comes the end when He shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now the power of death has already been destroyed, but the death issue, no. For He hath put all things under His feet. But when He saith all things under His feet, it is manifest that He is accepted, which did put all things under Him. So if God put it all under Christ's feet, He didn't put God under Christ's feet, is what's being said. And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then the Son also shall be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. In 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing. That's us. There's confidence there. Jude 1:21, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. I hope we are waiting anxiously. Seems to me if we would wait anxiously, we would also wait diligently with all our heart and soul and mind. The last verse of this song that Brian just led us in. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty. It may. But the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. The path that be my portion, whatever is going to happen. Maybe through the flame or flood. It could be a hard one. But His presence goes before me, and I'm covered with His blood. That's what matters. That last sentence. And so whatever else is in the contemplation or the chance or whatever it may be that we call our lives, the fact that His presence goes before us and we're covered with His blood. And what else matters? Acts 20:28, be on guard for yourselves, for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God. Listen. The church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Don't ever forget that. Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Few verses on the one who holds our hand. Ephesians 3:16-19. that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Wow. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, we're supposed to be that, may be able to comprehend. This is a prayer, may I say, with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height? That's four dimensions. Everything is the idea. May be able to comprehend, I'm sorry, verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The last song, number 263. Number 263. Ryan didn't think he knew this one, so let's give her a try. Sing the first, second, and last stanza.
My name is in the book of life. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I rise above all doubt and strife and read my title clear. I know, my name is there. I know, my name is written there. My name once stood with sinners lost for more a painful record, but by his blood the Savior crossed and placed it on his roll. I know my name is there. I know, my name is written there. While others climb through worldly strife to carve a name of honor, high up in heaven's book of life, my name is written there. I know, my name is there. I know, my name is written there.
Now that's a song of confidence. Do you know that? I truly know. There's nothing more important than our names be written in the book of life. Let's read a few verses about that. Hebrews 12:23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God the judge of all and the spirits of just men made perfect. Back in Exodus 32:32. Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot, Moses is talking here. Blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And I want to say to Moses, watch out. There is a book. Luke 10 at verse 20. Notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's what we rejoice about. Confidence there. Philippians 4 at verse 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. And then the Revelation letter brings it up. 20 at verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's pretty powerful. I know that my name is written there. I hope you know that. I hope you know that. We conclude. The invitation song will be Victory in Jesus. We might sit here and say, I can't know all that. The problem is I know me. And when I know me, then I can't know much of anything else because I don't think I am worthy. And there's a big problem, and I think sometimes we just look at it all backwards. We get a case of the me's, and we get to worrying about who we are and what we do, and we ought to. We're created unto good works, Ephesians 2:10 says. But it isn't, Brian noted this in the adult class, it isn't our works that get us to heaven. It's the grace of God that's in Christ Jesus. Now, the way we behave on this earth might keep us out of heaven. We can go the wrong direction, but they're not going to get you there. It's Christ's blood and God's gift and grace that makes all that difference. God only is good, folks. So when you look at yourself and you don't find the good that you want to see, welcome to being human. I'm not giving license to any of us to go behave however we want to behave. We know better than that. What I'm giving us is license to love so much that we will respond to the love of God. That our lives will be motivated in heart, all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, that we will be motivated in the right way from the right source. And by that we see God's grace and mercy in Christ Jesus. God wants us to look up and not down. Philippians 3, starting at verse 9. And may be found in him not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Are we catching these elements? And the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. There's a lifestyle. In order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. And then Paul says this. Listen carefully. This is Paul. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect. Paul recognized that. You're in the same boat. We all are. But here's what he says, having said that. But I press on, so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Powerful. Brethren, I don't regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do. That's important, folks. Let's get the one thing right. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, Paul says this, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You can know that much. 2 Peter chapter 3, 17 through the first part of 18. Therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest also, being led astray with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. We don't want to do that. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our Savior Jesus Christ. We're to grow. We're to press on. We know some good things, don't we? We know enough. Faith makes up that difference, doesn't it? We know enough to spend eternity with God. We know Christ Jesus and the way that brings us there or takes us there. We know we're not perfect. We know that we sin. We know that we all have troubles and difficulties. We all do. But we know the anchor and the rock and the sense of eternity. And that sense was given to us by God, and it is his Son, Christ Jesus, and it is in the event of his coming to this earth and dying for our sins and being resurrected by the power of his Father He is mediating. He is interceding for us. He is alive. Being alive, if we are in Him spiritually, He gives us life. And that life is now. It is spiritual, but it spreads on into eternity. Folks, the victory has already been won. Our last song is Victory in Jesus. The victory is already won. We just have to be a part of it. You have to believe. You have to confess His name. You have to repent. There's a change in lifestyle. And that needs to happen at the beginning, but it needs to happen all the time in my life. We continually are in a repentant mode because of the weakness that exists with us as we readjust looking to heaven and changing who we are as much as we can and falling and repenting and doing it all over again. And we begin to learn to rejoice in that because my name is written there, is yours. The victory is in Jesus. We're going to sing that. If you need to come, won't you come? Together we stand and sing.
480.
I heard no old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me.